And welcome back to the Green Front, where we cover all things going on the Green Front lines. Have been for about 15 years now, interviewing the top environmentalists in their field across the green spectrum, and there's so much to talk about. One of the areas that I've not done much of is talking about what's going on internationally on the Green Front, and one country that is close to my heart because I happen to be a Jewish American is Israel. And I've been doing this long enough that I remember 15 years ago when I would meet an Israeli or speak to a friend here who goes to Israel a lot, knows a lot about it, works for, you know, Israel Bonds or one of those many great agencies out there. You know, I'd say, what's going on environmentally in Israel? And it was, oh, forget that, you know. And on all those cell phones that everybody seems to be on, I remember when I was there about 17 years ago, I've never seen so many people using cell phones anywhere else, and that was early on in the cell phone industry penetration. But besides those cell phones piling up in the landfill, what's going on? And, of course, because they're so concerned with survival there, that was a good reason, legitimately so, I'm sure, to, you know, not make that a primary focus. And, of course, all that has changed. And, of course, it needs to, because Israel, of course, is in the middle of the desert, and they've made it an oasis, but water even a bigger issue than it is here. And certainly they're going to feel the effects of a drought first because they're basically living in a desert. So to talk about what's going on in the environmental scene in Israel and specifically in the aftermath of that horrendous fire, I am very pleased to have a special guest, special because he happens to be in the States on tour talking about these issues, is Ariel Cutler, and he is with the Jewish National Fund, and he's here to talk about what they're doing with the Friends of Israel Firefighters. That's an organization, and he is a JNF's Jerusalem liaison, if I got all that straight. Welcome to the Green Front, Ariel.
Thank you very much. Great to be here with you.
Yes, we watched with horror as that fire back in the Tiberias region of Israel took place. I guess it was last December. Can you just recount the extent of the damage and destruction? And I know there were human lives lost.
Yeah, the damage was over 10,000 acres of forest. Part of it natural forest, part of it planted forest that was destroyed. 44 people lost their lives. More than 100 homes were destroyed in the fire. It was really one of the worst fires in the history of the state of Israel.
And what caused it, if you can refresh our memory?
What caused it was a mistake of two 16-year-old kids who started a fire. They obviously did not mean to start such a horrendous fire, but it was an accident by two 16-year-old kids that made this major catastrophe in Israel.
All too often accident, but with the disastrous results, of course. What was learned from the epic battle to fight that fire?
What was learned is that Mother's Nature is definitely the strongest power around, and we did everything we can. We weren't prepared. We've known for years that the Israeli firefighters are not prepared, and the world, and including the state of Israel, woke up to new reality that we have to be much more prepared and help our firefighters in Israel, because fires happen all the time. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Now, that was called the Carmel Forest Fire. How large an area did it span?
Over 10,000 acres.
10,000 acres.
10,000 acres were burned, over 5 million trees.
And so, was it close to Haifa at one point?
Yes, the fire was right outside of Haifa. More than 20,000 people were evacuated from their homes, including a prison in the heart of the forest. The bus tragedy where 44 people were killed was actually wardens who were Jews, Christians, Muslims, who were going to this prison to rescue the prisoners who were threatened by the fire.
And I know San Francisco has had a sister city relationship with Haifa, so we're particularly aware of that beautiful city, perhaps because of the similar geography on the hills, on the water.
Yeah, 100%, and we're very much appreciative of our sister relationship.
What is the situation with water? Are you looking at desalination yet? Like, I know Turkey nearby in the neighborhood.
We are very involved in water, but I want to take a step back. You know, you mentioned that 15 years ago when you asked Israelis, you know, what's the environment, and it wasn't on the top of their priority list. I can say that the situation has definitely changed 180 degrees.
Tell us about that. What prompted it? Was it any particular event or just kind of waking up?
I don't know if it was any particular event. First of all, we have a minister of environment in Israel, and that's his entire job, is to deal with environmental issues in Israel, and he's very dedicated to it. Israel is the number one country in the world when it comes to recycling sewage water. We recycle almost 80% of every drop of water in Israel. Mm-hmm. It's afterwards used for agriculture. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, but last week was the WATEC conference in Israel. Mm-hmm. Water conference where 94 countries from all over the world came to Israel to study technology of how to use water. More than 20,000 people from all over the world came to learn in Israel from the technology invented in Israel and used in Israel on how to be at the forefront of using water, because we live in the desert, and it's a problem. If you don't have water, you don't have anything.
Absolutely, and you engage in water recycling in Israel. What about recycling in general? Is that something that's also taken hold?
Very much so. Very much so. You see it all over. The places to recycle bottles and paper, and it's definitely a mentality change that's been going on over the last 20 years in Israel. But I think we've reached it, and there's definitely a way to go. Our planet is very important to all of us. But
JNF
is very involved.
Country. Are you running out of landfill space? I mean, there's a lot of open space, I know that. But what about your landfill situation, your solid waste?
Well, I'll just give you one example. In the Tel Aviv region, which is a huge metropolitan, the biggest landfill was an area called Kharia. And recently it became a beautiful park. The landfill was turned into a gorgeous park where people could come and enjoy with their families. We have a project where we recycle sewage water, and we do it. I'm blanking out. We did it at a airport. So the hazard of birds coming near a sewage pit near an airport, we know what happens. We all remember what happened on the flight in New York a couple years ago, where the birds hit the airplane and it had to land in the Hudson River. So by using the water for agricultural projects, for making them into, you know, taking the sewage water and really making it into beautiful projects in Israel, that's really what JNF is involved in.
And you are also regreening the Carmel Forest that burned. How is that going?
Well, at first we're just letting the nature do its own. A lot of what we did is clean up, meaning taking away trees that were dangerous near the highways, and starting to let, you know, nature do its own, starting to watch the green come back, and very soon we're going to be planting new trees and making sure the green artery of Israel up in the Haifa region is going to be another beautiful part of Israel. Israel is one of the only countries, I believe it may be the only country, that ended the 20th century with more trees than it started it.
and all of us in Sunday school helped plant those trees, all the quarters that we stuck into those branches on the cards.
More than 240 million of them.
How many?
More than 240 million trees were planted in Israel through the Jewish National Fund.
And we knew we were doing a good thing. I'm joking, but we did play a part, we kids in religious school. But who knew how good, just in terms of the CO2 that trees absorb?
No question. No question that... we definitely, the trees make Israel a much better place environmentally, a much more beautiful place, and it's definitely
still,
thanks to all of you. So,
is that still an active program? Are you still soliciting quarters from kids in Sunday school?
Still doing it. And,
okay,
people are
good.
Still planting trees in Israel and making Israel a greener place.
And that takes a lot of water, though, as you say. So,
takes a lot of water.
Wonderful.
Definitely.
To have the trees in so many ways, on so many, you know, ecological levels, and not to mention just the shade and beauty services that they bring.
Right, most of the forests we plant are watered by the rain. I mean, we get in Israel an average of about 30 days of rain annually, and once the forests are planted, at some point the rain is enough water to keep them going, and we don't go back and plant every tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we just have a few minutes left, and I'd like to hear any other thoughts you have on just sort of the efforts to, you know, green Israel, but we'd be remiss if we didn't mention, in talking about Israel's environment, a guy named Shai Agassi, who is really about to, I think, change transportation, at least in your country, and I believe it's Finland, where he's also going to be rolling out his new, you know, battery exchange program
for
electric cars.
Israel is very involved in changing the dependency on oil, and making us more greener, and using electric cars is definitely a much better way for transportation. And it's once it's going to be coming out, it's going to be, you know, a world-breaking move for people to move to electricity cars from you know, using oil.
Groundbreaking, yes. And you know, maybe Israel, even more so than the United States of America, has an interest in getting off Arab oil. Your neighbors there supplying the oil, but making Israel vulnerable. I mean, where does Israel get most of its oil from?
Most of its oil comes from foreign sources, not from Israel, although Israel has some of its own natural sources that were, you know, recently discovered in the Mediterranean Sea.
And when you say foreign sources, is at least most of it coming from Arab nations, not so friendly to Israel?
At the end of the day, it probably comes from Arab nations, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, even more motivation to, you know, make the transition to electric cars, although that only is going to be a greener alternative if most of the electricity is not coming from coal and, in fact, coming from, you know, renewable sources like solar and wind. Do you happen to know how much of Israel's electricity comes from coal-fired power plants?
I really don't know that answer, but I can tell you that Israel has become very pushing its citizens to change to solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's major incentives for citizens to put solar panels on their roof. And,
I would think so. With
green
the
sun
burning down there in the middle of the desert, that would be a really good idea.
You know, once you go to southern Israel, there's so much going on. One great example is the Beersheba River. The Beersheba River was a dumping ground for many Israelis over the years. It's a dry riverbed that runs through the southern city of the Beersheba that floods once or twice a year. And we got involved about 7-8 years ago. We cleaned it up, and we're taking the water that used to run through it, which was sewage water, recycling the water into a man-made lake. So the lake is going to be a lake with recycled sewage water. And the entire river was cleaned up. We put walkways on both sides, promenades, and it became, from this environmental hazard, one of the nicest parks in Israel.
Wonderful. We're just about out of time, but thanks for piquing my interest. We'll have to get some other environmental experts from Israel on to share more information. I really appreciate your contribution with the Jewish National Fund.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
We've been speaking with Ariel Cutler. He is with the JNF and doing great work there in Israel, and happy to have him on the Green Front today. That does it for this edition. If you'd like to hear the entire show, please go to either the Progressive Radio Network website or mine, where the shows are archived at thegreenfront.com. I want to wish you all a happy and, of course, green Thanksgiving. See you next time.